Hey, welcome back. Right as I was hitting that button just now to start this, I looked up because I saw something moving and it's just like a little fly crawling across the light that I have. You can see it reflecting in my eyes at this light that I have over here. Anyway, hi, welcome. I'm glad that you're with me. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. I'm Jennifer and I'm glad that you're here. Today we're in lesson four, it's day four, and we're studying, we're shifting over into chapter five of Acts. And we're going to be reading a pretty powerful passage of something, well, pretty powerful that ends up happening in the early church. So grab your Bible if you don't already have it ready to go and your notepaper. And those of you who are here watching me live, hi, I'm really glad that you're here. And thank you for joining in this live. This is a great way for us to connect and be able to engage with each other. So don't be shy. Make sure you leave a comment and say hi right now if you're here with me live. And let's let other people know that we're watching together and in this Bible study together. And then of course, those of you who are watching and listening later on, thank you for being here as well. This is a great Bible study that enables you to share it and connect with people. And you can, we have people who are actually doing different Bible studies in the Dwelling Richly series that aren't even going on right now, like people doing the Ephesians study or hi out there, those of you who are doing Ephesians and might happen to be seeing this video. But anyway, they're all available over on my website, jennifergrichmond.com. So hop over there. Download, check it out. And this is a great time of year also to go over to my website and check out some recipes that I'm working on. And I know some of you are enjoying some of the yummy goodies that you ordered from me just recently, with whether it's baklava or the bacon jam or whatever it is. Thank you for that. It's always fun to share the love. And thanks for stopping by and seeing me also at the boutique, the Christmas from the Heart boutique. So anyway, great to be with you right now, and I look forward to this study today. Let's go ahead and pray and get started. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for our time together today. We give it to you. We have a lot on our mind and a lot that we could be doing, and we are choosing to be still and be with you right now. And those listening to my voice, I ask God that you would bless them right now, that we would breathe deeply in your peace and your rest and your focus today. Be with us now as we go into this study in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's hop over. Let me switch screens here so you can see. Ta-da, wrong screen. Hold on, there it is. There we go. Okay, so again, this is lesson four and it's day four. We are starting chapter five, but let's go ahead and do our short Bible verse. And I think I forgot to mention or remind you, and I know you're doing it on your own, but I always like to remind you to do your writing. So we'll get to that in a second. But our short Bible verse is of Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Short and sweet. You guys are getting it. All right. Our scripture passage for today is 5:1-11. But before I read that, I just want to, oh my goodness. It's very rare that I have a yawn absolutely completely take over. Oh, you know, I just realized I'm talking and I don't have my microphone very close. Oh my goodness. I think it's strong enough to have picked me up, but that's probably a whole lot better, isn't it? Anyway. Hi. I'm sure you can hear me a lot better now. Anyway, that yawn, where did that come from? It was like out of nowhere. All right. So before we head into our reading, I want to remind you to do your writing. So we are writing the prayer that we covered a couple days ago, Acts 4. And this powerful prayer the apostles pray together. So we are writing that prayer out. All right. Now let's go ahead over back to our scripture reading, Acts 5:1-11. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for such, for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed to test the spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. Wow. Let's jump into our lesson. Now, you've just finished reading today's passage. Without stopping to analyze, write down 3 or 4 words that describe your feelings about what you read in this account. Shock. I'm feeling what it must have been like to be in that crowd of people there at the church witnessing all of this. It's very solemn. I'm not feeling scared myself, but I'm having a sense of the fear and the terror and the brutality almost of this moment and this scene that everyone has witnessed and experienced. How about you? It's pretty intense, isn't it? How do you respond? What are your feelings and thoughts about this? Just from the very first cold reading of it, or third reading of it, actually, if you think about it. Because if you've been with us since lesson one, we've actually already read through this entire passage before. And then, of course, at the beginning of this lesson 4, we read through it again, and then now for today. So every time we come to scripture, we should have read it at least 3 times before we start really digging into it. That's part of the dwelling richly concept, to really let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. All right. I've tried to give you some time to think that through. I'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts here in the comments. Let me know what you're thinking also. All right. So number 2, compare and contrast the actions of Barnabas to that of Ananias and Sapphira. Let's go back to our lesson from yesterday. I mean, it's just right here. We have what we wrote down yesterday about Barnabas here. All right, and let's go ahead back over to scripture and take a look at that as well. Compare and contrast the actions here. I'll get Ananias and Sapphira up there. And I've got my Bible ready. And it's just that verse, that couple of verses there in chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. So thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field and belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And what do we have? Ananias and Sapphira here. They also sold a piece of property, but they kept back for, himself. It was weird. Sorry about that. Those of you who are just listening missed that. I had something stuck in my tooth. It's kind of annoying. Anyway, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they're both having in common is they're selling a piece of property. They're laying it at the apostles' feet. We have not in common, and that's what this diagram helps us to do. Commonality here, non-common here. What's unique to Barnabas? What's unique to Ananias and Sapphira? Barnabas, well known by the disciples, obviously. We have a history of him, Ananias and Sapphira. This is it. This is all we know. And they both lay something at the feet. Barnabas lays the entire thing, and Ananias and Sapphira are deceptive and only lay a portion of it. Barnabas lives. Ananias and Sapphira, of course, dies. Oh, I guess I am tired. Oh. Number 3, consider Peter's questions and his statements for Ananias and Sapphira. Write out each question and then add what you think each question or statement implies, what truth it teaches, or what it presupposes. So we have Peter's questions I'd like us to take a look at over here on the left, and then on the right, Peter's statement that you have not lied to man, but to God. But let's write out Peter's questions here. So go ahead and get your Bible out, and we're going to look at chapter 5, verse 3, the very first part. That's what the A means. So if I ever give you like an A or a B or a C, it just means the first or the second or the third part of a verse. So chapter 5, verse 3a, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? So what are some of the, what does that question presuppose? What does it imply? Well, that Satan is real, okay, and that he can influence our hearts. That is Peter's assumption here. Why has Satan filled your heart? Satan has filled their heart. And then he says, to lie to the Holy Spirit. So Satan is real. The Holy Spirit is real. We have some presumptions about these beings, these satanic and spiritual godly being of the Holy Spirit. So Satan can influence hearts to sin. Why did he? He didn't influence Barnabas to sin. Influences Ananias and Sapphira to sin, though. Huh. What's the reason? Why could he do that to Ananias and Sapphira and not to Barnabas? Something's different about their heart. All right. And in chapter 5, verse 3, the second part, B, 3B says, why did you keep back part of the proceeds? All right. So what does this presuppose? What does this imply? What do we hear inside this question here? Why did you do that? In other words, nobody else was doing that, perhaps part of that, or where? Why not just be honest about it and tell everybody exactly what you were doing? Why did you keep back part of the proceeds? Why have you done this? And in chapter 5, verse 4a and then b, wasn't this property and proceeds your own? Wasn't this your own? People, in other words, the people were not commanded to give. This isn't communism where people are forced to give. This is, like I mentioned in my talk at the end of lesson 3, this isn't communism. This is commonism. In other words, they have all things in common with one another. They're not being forced to do it. They weren't commanded. Wasn't this the property yours? The proceeds were yours as well. You could have done whatever you wanted with them. Chapter 5, verse 4c. Why have you contrived this deed in your heart? So Satan influences you, and you also, then I would say, presupposing this, you are culpable. You've done this thing. You've contrived it in your own heart then as well. Satan influenced you, but you were open to Satan's influence. All right. So, and then verse 9. What's this next question? How is it that you agreed together, the husband and the wife, to attest the Spirit of the Lord? So he had already said earlier about the Holy Spirit, and that then we see the Holy Spirit being referred to as the Spirit of the Lord. So that gives us insight that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. And they're learn and understand there a little bit more. All right. So Peter's statement then that you have not lied to man, but to God, is interesting because they did lie to man. They flat out walked before the entire of mankind there in that church. But what Peter is saying is, this is not about what you've done here, because lying here is as if you are lying straight to God. And Peter is elevating the church in this moment to say, look, you lie to the church, to this unity that we have here, that's part and parcel. That is lying to God. Peter's making that very clear, and God's backing him up and affirming what he's saying, because of course he strikes them dead, they die. All right. What did Peter say that they could have done with their money? What could they have done with their money? They could have kept it. There was no compulsion involved here. This is not communism. They could have kept it. What is the sin issue then going on in this situation? It wasn't that they kept back some of the money, it's that they lied about it. They're trying to put forth something about themselves that is not true. Okay. And I didn't ask this question here, but I mean, what's the big word for that? What are you called when on the inside you're this way between you and your wife or husband or whatever, you're this way, but on the outside you project that? It's two different faces, isn't it? That's called being a hypocrite. Two faces. You're one way and you're the other. God takes that very seriously. So what's the sin issue going on in the situation? It's hypocrisy. Putting on airs. It's trying to act like you're this when you're really that. Not being honest. Does Peter call upon God to strike them down? Well, let's double check here. So the man, Peter confronts him, and Peter says, Satan, why has Satan filled your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. And when Ananias heard these words, verse 5, he fell down and breathed his last. Peter doesn't do any calling down. And let's see what happens with Sapphira, the wife. He asks about how much, and she said, yes, for so much. And Peter says, how is it that you test the spirit of the Lord? And those men are about ready to take your body out, and immediately she falls down at his feet. So again, he doesn't call down death upon her. It just happens. He is that he's that bold, he's that honest, he's that in tune with the Holy Spirit of what's happening. He just does the confrontation, and it's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, that makes the judgment, and the judgment is death, and it's instant, isn't it? All right. Why do you think God punishes their sin with such a strong and public way? Now, I'm going to pause and not share my thoughts on this here. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about it, but I really want to hear your thoughts about this and not influence you with some of my thoughts on it. But I want you to voice in, you know, leave a comment right now. Let me know what you think. And then share that. And I'll share my thoughts on it and when we get back together for the teaching time in a couple of weeks. Week and a half now, I guess now, huh? All right, so do you think God could or should respond to sin in the same way today? Why or why not? I'll just be brief on this, and I will share some thoughts on it. Do you think God could or should respond to sin? Yeah, actually, I do. I think he could. I think he absolutely could respond to sin in that way. Should God respond to sin in that way? I hope not. I don't think I'd be here. I've been a hypocrite, right? But could he? Yeah, absolutely. There's no tolerance for sin. And we'll talk a little bit more about why he doesn't, I believe, why he doesn't, and when we get back together again. But could he do it? Absolutely he could. Should he do it? Probably. And that's on God, though, for why he's withholding that. And we'll talk a little more about that, like I said, when we get back together for our teaching time. By the way, all the teaching times are recorded. Those of you who aren't able to join us in person, hop over to the podcast, Dwelling Richly, and all the teaching is over there. All right, so how do people respond to this event? And great, what? Fear comes upon them. All right, so what two groups does Luke say they had great fear upon them? And I need to go back over to the scripture. I can't remember off the top of my head, but this is, he said, great fear came upon the whole church. There we are down here. And upon all who heard of these things. So the whole church. And then those who heard, those outside the church then. Everyone, basically. Everyone's hearing about this. All right. Why do you think Luke reports their response in two distinct groups? Why does he go about it that way? Well, because I think he's trying to say that there are two distinct groups. You've got the people who have believed and have become one heart and soul that are the church, and the people who are outside. They're not part of that. And there is a distinction there. We're not just all one kumbaya around the fireplace. There is a come to Jesus moment. There is a moment that says, yes, I want to be a part of this church. This isn't just everybody. And so I think he is making that differentiation there. All right. What does this account reveal to you about the nature or the character of God? And again, on this one, I'd really like to just hear your thoughts on this. I like to hear from you. I don't mind sharing, but I do enough sharing. I'd like to hear from you on this right here. What does this reveal to you about the character of God, the nature of God? And what are your thoughts on that? So I would love to hear from you. And if you stay tuned tomorrow, I will come back tomorrow. I'll open tomorrow's lesson with my thoughts on this one, since I don't usually do that. I usually just kind of leave it hanging there. But I think tomorrow I'll go ahead and share that. I remember. I'll have to write myself a note. All right. Okay, everyone, thank you for being with me here, whether you are here now, hi, at the live, or if you've joined in later, know that you are loved and prayed for, and I look forward to being with you again real soon. Bye-bye for now.